The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors. Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X.
Hey, this is Grant Wilson from Ghost Hunters, and if you ever have time that you never want to get back, spend it listening to Mike and Dave on the Odyssey Files.
Oh! Kim, what are you doing?
Well, I'm telling Mike and Dave it's time to get on the show.
Oh, well, the Odyssey Files starts now.
Good evening, Para-X. You're listening to the Odyssey Files. It is 7 o'clock, and we are going to bring on our guest, who we thought wasn't on, and we're like sitting here waiting for him, and he actually just sent me a message letting me know that he is, in fact, on. He must be on like invisible mode.
Uh-oh.
Because you can do that on Skype, is you can make it look like you're not online.
Well, yeah, because Skype is such a fantastic program that it has all these really cool features. You know, was there enough sarcasm? There probably wasn't enough sarcasm in that, because I didn't feel like I laid enough sarcasm into that.
So everybody might be able to hear the Skype call, so I really apologize if that is the case.
Everybody join us. Everybody just Skype us in ninja mode. Just join the call in ninja mode, and it'll be a party.
Well, they can't. Because for whatever reason, if they were to call us, it would be in a completely different call. I would have to like hang up with you guys and then go answer that, and I couldn't
it'd be a mess.
Yes. Oh, you know what might be pretty sweet is, since we already have a call going, it might not make that ugly sound.
Sweet.
You would think with one of the updates that it would be they would get rid of that noise.
Yeah, I don't know. Mine just freaked out again, because I just lost my camera, and then I lost you. Then you were like 800 miles away and a little tiny face on the horizon, and then now you're back to where you should be. So I'm not really sure what's going on with Skype anyway. But anyway, Monday, it is Monday, and I'm happy to announce that winter is over in Minnesota. It's nice and balmy here. And, you know, it's a beautiful day. We got the next couple days here. It's going to be just stunningly gorgeous. So if you're listening and you're somewhere where winter has still got a grip on you, get on a plane, fly into Minneapolis, come enjoy our weather.
Yes. even though that won't actually work, considering it's like national news that.
Well, I try. I tried to bring people and help them share in our misery. Yeah, it's going to be cold. It's going to be just a tad bit chilly here the next couple of days. Next three or four, actually, probably. 50 below wind chill. I'd say that's a little chilly.
Yeah, it's going to be. But I was outside earlier shoveling the, 6-7 inches that
showed up last night.
Yeah, it showed up last night, and it was actually pretty comfortable out there for considering it said that it was like -4.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. There wasn't much of a wind today, really, so I didn't think it was that bad. I think it's going to be chilly, though. Highs of 20, or I mean lows of 20 below, highs of 13 below, it's going to be a little chilly. Should we say who our guest is?
I'm still
even though we're, even though we haven't connected with him yet, we'll just talk about him. Here's what we're going to do. So, Dustin, if you can hear us, we're just going to – we're just for the next 10 minutes, we're just going to do nothing but ask questions. And then when we finally connect with you, you come on and answer all of them. And Mike and I are just going to sit back and listen.
So, just
a bombardment of questions, and then you just come on and answer them at your leisure in whatever order you choose. That's fine with us. We're not uptight about that stuff.
Yes. So our guest today, and he will be here.
I have faith in him.
I do too. I mean, he's been ready since like 5 minutes before the show. It's just for some reason Skype is still showing him offline, and I've tried to bring him in like 4 different times now, and it's just not letting me do it, and it's irritating me because I've really been excited about tonight and talking further with Dustin, because I always think that maybe we don't put enough space in between our guests. We just kind of bring back same people over and over again. But I saw a message on Twitter, a direct message that I had sent to him like after the last one. It was like last April. I was like, holy crap, that was a long time ago.
It doesn't seem like it was that long, but I was looking at that too, and I'm like, you know, it's been almost a year.
Yeah, that surprised me.
It did too. Yeah, it did me too.
It's been far too long since we've chatted with our friend Dustin Perry.
Absolutely.
I think what had happened, is I think. And I guess I can't fault him for this at all, because I probably would do the same thing. I think I wasn't on his contact list, and he has it set up to where he doesn't get calls unless you're on the list.
Got to be a VIP.
Ha! Yeah, he changed his name. Why, that punk. Because I
so who is he now, like Dustin Bishop, or is it like Johnny Perry, or what did he do? First name, last name, what'd he do?
No, it's,
is he going incognito? He's got so many fans now that he's like, all right, I gotta do a little manipulating of my name.
I'm trying to find him on my list and I'm not doing it. Hold on. Let me. Oh, Skype, why do you hate me so much?
Well, what's new in the paranormal world while you're looking at that? Because right now, honestly, I don't know. Anything you saw that caught your eye recently in the news or the tabloids? Any good UFO abductions of like cow parts, or any Bigfoot sightings in New York City?
No.
That's what we should do. Yeah, it was what we should do. We should get like an issue of like one of the really just totally trash tabloids, like what is it, The Star and some of those other ones, and just like go through there. Because I bet that in every single weekly issue that there is some sort of story pertaining to either an alien abduction or some sort of cryptoid sighting, or some freaky experience of like spontaneous human combustion or black-eyed kids or something.
Right. So hold on. So
all right.
For whatever reason, his new name is not showing up in my contacts list. So I actually have to hang up with you and add you both at the same time.
Oh, all right.
So everybody is going to get a taste of what this is like before the show.
Sure.
So we can actually talk to Dustin Perry tonight.
Nice. All right.
All right, bye-bye.
I'll be back. See you later.
Oh, they want to know about my quality of my call. I'm going to give them a quality of the call. Bum, bum, bum.
Bum, bum, bum.
Oh, Dustin.
Hey, buddy.
For whatever reason, it would not.
Wasn't showing, huh?
Well, not only that, but I have something different.
Oh, that's weird. Because
I have your name, and so I kept on trying to do that. And then when you sent me that accept thing a couple minutes ago,
yeah,
it wouldn't show up on my list, so I couldn't add you to that call I had with Dave.
Oh,
I didn't hang up the line with you. What's there going on? You are.
All right.
We're all here. Thank you. Now everybody knows that I wasn't lying. That I did actually have you booked for tonight.
Yeah. Yep. Just the usual Skype demons, man. There's always something.
It is.
Oh, come on. I love Skype. Skype's one of the best programs out there.
I'm sure.
Good evening, Dustin.
Good evening, gentlemen. How's it going?
Better
much,
now.
Much better now now that you are here.
Okay.
Mike and I were sitting there chit-chatting for, 7 minutes, 8 minutes, trying to fill some space while we're figuring out how to debug Skype. No, much better now.
Grand.
So, I don't know if an introduction is really needed anymore, since we've only used your name like 17 times already. I guess I have to say first that I have a new accolade for you besides the paranormal rock star.
Oh, dear Lord. What now?
No. And it's positive.
Oh, good. I like those.
It is simply what has to be the busiest man in the paranormal community.
Finally, I get to be the James Brown of the paranormal.
I think so, because seriously, I follow you on Twitter. Yep. And so I see, I don't follow a lot of people. So like all of you.
I remember I had a politic to get you to follow me last time. It's still saved in my DMs.
That's right. I know. You're like, hey, I want to follow back. And I'm like, oh, I suppose.
Bring me on the show if you can't even follow me, man. What the heck? But see, now you can see all the nonsense that I get up to.
No, it's great. You always post about how you're going to be, this place or that place.
Yeah.
But what threw me for a loop a couple weeks ago was that you were like, I was at 52 events this year.
Yeah.
And I'm like, holy crap.
Right? Is that crazy? Like,
I obviously, averages out to one event per week all year long. And I don't know how you have the stamina for that.
I don't know, man. It's weird because I wish it was just one per week, but it's like 25 of those are in October. So it's literally like I work the day job. I get out of the day job. I jump in my truck and drive like all across New England to libraries and haunted locations and do whatever I got to do, man. But we're doing good, though. I mean, we're not even out of January yet, and we're on pace to beat last year's record. We already have 12 bookings for this year. So I'm like, I don't know what's going on, but God bless everybody that comes out and sees me do whatever the heck it is I do.
What is it you do?
Well, I'm a
and I,
paranormal.
And for the record, I know what it is. I'm just
I'm a paranormal song and dance man. I do a little bit of everything, and the old soft shoe, and I'll tell you my ghost stories, and how I get started, and favorite places, and some weird, creepy pictures and stories, and then I'm like a motivational comedian too. You get motivational stories in there. You get a little bit of everything, man. You know what's really been cool though? And this happened a couple of times last year, and I really felt it was. It was very important for me to hear from some people. And I remember I was doing an event for Amy and Adam, actually, was the last time. We were up in New Hampshire there. And this young girl came up to me after my lecture, and she said, I came here because I enjoyed the paranormal, but what I really needed to hear, I got out of your lecture and your motivational messages. And like, she started crying and gave me a big hug. I was like, we're doing something right, damn it. This is good stuff, It really makes that connection. I feel so happy when those things happen.
Were you able to hold back the tears yourself, or does that tug at your heartstrings and like get you to where you're like blinking really fast? Like, no, it was just a bug flew across my eyelid here.
There's some blinking going on, it's funny. I took my wife and daughter. We went to see Cats the other night at the Providence Performing Arts Center. And I don't know what happened, but I'm sitting there watching it. And all of a sudden, like they sing the last song about memories and the moonlight. And I start crying. I'm like, what is wrong with me right now? And I'm like trying to hide it from my wife and daughter because they make fun of me as it is. Like every time I go to a dance recital, like my daughter's like, did daddy cry? I'm like, stop it. Like I'm so dang proud of you. I can't help it. I'm a very sensitive fella.
Yeah, there's
not because I don't sleep either, you know. So I don't have a very big threshold to hold anything back.
Oh, that's funny.
Do you? I think I know the answer to this one, but I'm going to ask it anyway.
All right.
Do you find that more people connect to your inspirational and motivational messages, or to your paranormal side?
You know, it's an interesting mix. It's definitely growing on the motivational side of things, which I'm very thankful for. I mean, I'll always love the paranormal. Like, I love all the stuff I do in it, you know? Like, last night I was really mad because it's so dang cold here. It's like 20 degrees. I'm like, I just want to go out and walk around in the woods and look for weird stuff. But it's so cold, I can't stand it. So
20 degrees.
Yeah. 20 degrees, really? Wow.
I know, it's warm for you guys, right?
Are you aware that it's
you're in the middle of a blizzard world over there.
Yeah, when I shoveled this afternoon, it was -4.
Oh, it's awful.
And by, and like, warm. Tomorrow. Yeah. And by tomorrow, we're going to have wind chills of, like, -50 here.
Oh, dear Lord.
And you think
I would never
20?
Leave the house.
It's
I would
cold.
Never leave the house, man. I can't take it. Like, I mean, this week we're supposed to be in the negatives. We get, like, 6 degrees or whatever. And I'm like, last week at this time I was in Florida. I was at Disney. And it was 70 and 80. And I'm like, yes, this is where I belong, you know. But yep. I come back here and freeze. But anyway, man, it means a lot to me. Like, the motivational connection means a lot to me. And I'll always dance with the paranormal. It's a passion of mine, always will be. I love getting into creepy stuff and looking for weird things. And the other night, my buddy Cody and I, we saw a UFO and, like, contacted my local meteorologist. I'm like, could you check? Because I used to work for CBS News. I'm like, hey, man, can you check the reports? Like, were there any, like, meteors or anything? Like, here's the time, here's the town. And, like, he got back to me 2 days in a row. He's like, I searched. He's like, I even contacted some other people. Nobody saw anything. I'm like, this is amazing. You know, like, I'm always out looking for weird stuff. And so I'll go there, and I'll go to the events, and I'll always do the paranormal stories, and I'll always talk about the different theories, which are always evolving, and it's exciting for me. And I like to hear people's stories and connect with them. But when somebody comes to you and says, you know, you tweeted such and such when I was going through this time, and I had a couple recently that contacted me, and they were both contemplating suicide because they felt like they were in that bad of a place. And something I posted just caught their attention, and they started following my feed, and they got in touch with the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and they ended up going to a facility to get care, and now they're out, and you know, they're working on things, and they're doing better. And so when that stuff happens, it's like, yeah, it's great to have a crowd full of people that want to hear my ghost stories from around the world, but just knowing you helped one person make it through a dark time, there's no comparison for that, you know.
I'm actually happy that you brought that up, because I didn't know exactly how to transition, because this is a question that I've been waiting, like, weeks in order to ask. To give the context of why I'm asking this, I'd probably say maybe 3-4 weeks ago, logged onto my Twitter, and, you know, like always, I don't follow many people, so you're...
I know
tweets and things that and people that tweet at you showed up on my feed, and there was a message to you from this woman, and I remember very distinctly it saying, Dustin, I'm in why haven't you responded to me? I'm in such a dark place right now, and your reply to that was rightfully, you know, you're not a clinically, you know,
not a counselor. Yeah.
Yeah. You're not a counselor. You're not on a therapist. If she's in such a bad place that, you know, this is who she should contact. And I didn't see if there's anything past that. But my question is, does that happen often? And if so, how does that affect you? To where, maybe from the aspect of, do you think people are putting too much
emphasis? Shoulders. Yeah.
Yeah. Are they putting too much pressure on you to try to help them?
Right. To do it all, basically, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, no, I get it. And it does get difficult sometimes, you know, and I've got some friends of mine in the field that do motivational speaking and stuff too. And you get to the point where, I mean, you want to try to help everybody. And, you know, with my day job and everything, I can't just sit on social media all day and go through my feed. But I try to get back to everybody I can, especially if I see, you know, a message like that. So in that young lady's case, I probably missed a message or two from her previously. So when I saw that, I was like, I definitely want to, you know, I saw it, I'm going to reach out. You know, anytime somebody asks me for help, I try to help them. Anytime somebody asks me to pray for them, I make sure I pray for them. I do what I say I'm going to do. And there's some people that I've worked with, you know, personally, like, you know, I'll send them direct messages and stuff. And you have to be very selective, you know, but I try with the emails and everything. And yet sometimes, you know, you can give people the right direction. And I always make sure I give them the counselor's numbers and stuff, because I'm not trained to do that level of care. And I want to make sure that they're getting what they need. And if my job is just to be somebody who points them in the right direction, then that's what I do. But some people, I use this analogy, you become their magic feather. And they start to feel better because you told them this. And then they are okay for a little while. And then something bad happens again, so they come back to you. And then they come back to you, and they come back to you, and they come back to you. And at some point, I have to tell them, like, listen, it's just like Dumbo. Like, you can fly on your own. Like, I've been here to help you. I've guided you. I know what you're capable of doing. But you have to fly on your own. Like, I can't be your security blanket all the time. You know, and here's numbers of people you can call if you need further help. And, you know, I'm happy to be of assistance. But, you know, at some point, it's funny, you know, many, many moons ago, I dated a young lady who's a lifeguard. And she told me that in lifeguard training, one of the first things they told her was, if you swim out to save somebody, one of the first things you often have to do is kick them away from you, because they're in such a state of panic, they will grab you and drag you down with them. So you have to keep your own life preserver on too, you know? So I have to keep that in mind all the time, but it's tough because I just want to give. But at some points it's like, you know, there's nothing left in the cupboard, man. I get tired too, but I'm thankful to do it, and I do the best I can with it.
But by the way, I love that analogy, and I'm probably going to use that down the lifeguard one. So
oh yeah, go right ahead, man.
I like that. I totally love that, and that's total honest to God truth too. That they, you know, you go out to help somebody and they're in a panic state. The first thing they're going to do is grab you and try to get on top of you to push themselves up so they can feel like they're above the water, so to speak. Yeah. You know, and the whole time you're under the water now, and you're like, well, wait a minute. Time out. I came out here to help you. I don't want to die this afternoon or whatever.
That's it. I actually, so this is funny. This morning, I was on my way into work, and I was having a weird little morning, you know, but I don't let stuff get me down at all. And I was on my way to work, and I'm going to get to the highway here, and Rhode Island's not very big, but we get a heck of a lot of traffic. So as I'm going up to the highway, I get a stop at this little intersection just for the on-ramp. And I stop at the intersection, and then I'm a couple of cars back. Light turns green. I'm going through the intersection, and this guy, like, almost cuts me off trying to take a left turn in front of my truck. So I, like, jam my brakes on, and, like, now we're both looking at each other like, who's going to go? You know, so I, like, wait. I give him the wave. Like, it's cool, man. Like, I stopped. You know, I'm already in the intersection. I'm waving to you. Just go ahead, man. And he finally goes. But as he goes, the light turns red. And now I'm in the middle of the intersection. So I have to go through it. And of course, there's the police officer who pulls me right over and says, how come you went through the stoplight? I said, well, I was going through it, but I stopped to let somebody go. I said, then I had no choice, you know? So I was like, I'm just trying to help people here. And now I got to pay $80. But that's the way of it.
Did you get a ticket for that?
She gave me a ticket. Yeah. It was, they actually brought three cop cars out to see me today. And there I am on the side of the road, like, so embarrassed, like, just drinking my Dunkin' Donuts coffee, and everyone's staring at me. I got three cop cars outside my truck. And, when she first approached my truck, she's like, why didn't you pull over right away? I was like, well, there was no breakdown lane. I said, so I put my directional on, and I had to wait till there was a safe space. I haven't been pulled over in over 10 years. I'm like, did that protocol change?
I haven't been pulled over in over 20, but I think you need to go to a safe area and then stop. Yeah.
No, dude, my favorite part was she goes, well, I thought we were going to have a chase. I'm like, we're in rush hour traffic. Like, my top speed is about 7. Like, what chase are we going to have? You could get out and run up to my truck. But whatever. I'll just pay the court fee and be done with it. You know, she's doing her job. And from what she saw, it looks like I drove through the light. But I was like, man, I was just trying to help somebody. Now I just lost a lot of money today. That's all right.
So here's the question on that then. Did anybody sneak a selfie in with you or anything like that? Did they recognize you and go, hey, you know what? By the way, while we got you pulled over on the side of the road, can I get a quick my daughter loves you, my son loves. Was there any of that going on?
No, it never helps with traffic tickets. It only helps sometimes at Subway. I'll get a free sandwich or something, but that's about it.
All right. Well, I was just checking. I was thinking, because if you could use that for your defense.
That's right.
Right? Is that, hey, you know, I think they just pulled me over because they wanted a selfie because their daughter really, like, appreciates everything that I do.
We were driving the Taps van one time in Florida, and we got pulled over from a cop who was just a fan. He just wanted to come over and say hello. It was really cool. Yeah. That's fine. No worries. It's all good. I mean, they're just doing their job. Like, I wasn't mad at it, but I was just like, man, I was like, because I could see how it looked, you know, but I was like, man, I was just really trying to help somebody else out, but that's okay. That's life.
So for 20, you know, I took a look at your website a couple days ago and I saw, you know, you had 2017's places you've been, 2018.
Yeah.
And I'm totally with what Mike said earlier, you know, that is, and like you said, you know, 52 places in 2018 and looking to break that possibly in 2019. Yeah. So looking back for last year, do you have a favorite? I know it was a lot of places and I'm sure there's a lot of memories and stuff like that, but do you have something that stood out to you from last year's kind of like running around that you were just like, man, you leave there and you're like, either your heart is 100% filled or you're just so energized moving forward. You're like, man, that was amazing. I'm putting this back on the calendar.
Well, I'm very thankful to everybody that cares enough and takes the time to come see me, and all the events that have booked me over the years, and the libraries and all the conventions and everything. And one of my favorites is always MI Paracon up in Sault Ste. Marie, and we'll be there again this year. I've only missed one out of all of them. I think my daughter had a dance recital that year, but I've made it to every one. But last year was the first time they ever let me lecture on my own, which I thought was risky because, you know, who knows what's going to happen when I get up there. Especially with that size audience, like, I'm not just doing a regular lecture. I'm going to do some weird stuff. So I always try to be respectful of the other presenter's time. You know, I don't want to go over. So I shortened my paranormal lecture a little bit, and I added on this little bonus lecture called A Very Serious Talk About Unicorns. And it was all about things that are real and not real. And it's like, I was just trying to get the idea out there to everybody that, listen, like, okay, you say ghosts are real, but you say maybe Bigfoot's not real. And okay, you're on board with Bigfoot, but you think aliens can't exist. And okay, you like aliens, but you know, what about unicorns? And then it comes down to Santa Claus, because Santa Claus should always be mentioned at some point. And it's like, all these things I believe have a reality to them in some level, in some way. And so that was a lot of fun. And then when I wrapped that up, I still have one surprise for everybody. My good friend Cody Desmian, back here with me, we're actually working on building some new tech gear and stuff. And we go out and we do home investigations in the Rhode Island, Mass, Connecticut area. And we like to just mess around with equipment and come up with new ideas and stuff. And he helped me out. We made a video where it looked like I was connecting to a live satellite uplink, courtesy of the good people at MI Paracon, to my friend Cody back home, who was going to help me. He played his guitar, and I played my ukulele live on stage, and we had a slideshow in between of people I've taken pictures with over the years while I sang a song made popular by Mr. Andy Kaufman, comedian and genius in this friendly, friendly world. And I wanted people to sing along. We had the words up there and everything. And I was like, this, like, if my plane crashes on the way home, I went out on top, baby. Like, this was like the hallmark for me, you know? And it was just so much fun, and to see the people get excited when they see their pictures up there, and to hear them, like, the people that were singing with me and stuff. It was really cool. It was a lot of fun, man. I like to try to do different things all the time.
That's a great story. That's absolutely great. So and I'm glad you got to experience that. That sounds really cool.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
If I felt like I could sing a note properly, I might steal that one from you too.
It's a good one, man.
Yeah, that's
beautiful. I love the old comic geniuses, man, like Andy Kaufman and George Carlin and Robin Williams. Oh, that was another thing too. Some lady told me this year, I got off stage and she's like, your energy's crazy, you're like Robin Williams up there. I'm like, yes. I'm like, I'm hitting all the marks, man. Like, this is perfect. I also had, oh, this is great too, I had another woman this year, God bless her heart, she comes up to me after my lecture, she goes, Dustin, has anybody ever told you, you might have ADD? And I get this all the time. So my retort is always, I'm pretty sure, but I never stay still long enough for them to test me. And she's like, well, my husband has it and he takes medicine, and I could get, you know, you could get medicine for that. I said, well, I don't want to mess with this genius, though. I'm like, what might happen if we alter this? And like, she's like, no, you should. I'm like, no, 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 I'm fine. And like the second day of the convention, she sees me again. She's like, do you believe in Reiki healing? I'm like, yeah, I've seen a lot of people that do it with energy and stuff, you know? She's like, can I heal you and your ADD? I'm like, no, stop trying to fix me. I'm like, just let me be crazy. This is the way I am, man, you know? But so you never know what's going to happen at these things. But I just like to have a good time.
Absolutely. Don't destroy the genius.
That's it. You know, what Robin Williams said, you have one little spark of madness. So you gotta defend that.
Yep.
So yep. Now, I don't know exactly how, as I don't want you to answer negatively, but I mean, when you have people, because I see Chip Coffee's Twitter posts.
I've read a couple of those posts by Mr. Coffee.
So I read them, and sometimes I just gotta shake my head because I don't know why people feel the need to diagnose everybody.
Right.
So, but you, how do you usually take that when somebody is, would come up to you and be like, well, you might have some mental deficiency and that, right.
Oh, yeah.
That's why this is happening. And
yeah.
Does it get to a point where you're like, what is wrong with you people? Why can't I just be me?
It's interesting for sure. And I love Chip dearly. And I do love to read his feed. And it's funny to me because I know him to be a positive and loving person. And when I see him constantly have to defend himself and then, like, you know, go on the attack because he's not the type to sit back, you know, and which is good. He handles it. And but when people come up to me with those kind of things, like I've been told that I need to get checked for diabetes. I've been told that I drink a lot of water because I'm recovering from a drug problem. I've been told that I have a demon that follows me around everywhere. Like, you never know, you know? And so I always try to tell people, I'm like, oh, I appreciate your concern. Everything's fine, you know? And I just kind of try to disarm them with that. But some are just very persistent and everything. I'm never unkind, you know? I always just deal with it. But in my head, because I try to be a good little Christian soldier. I'm very non-judgmental, but that's the religion that works for me. And I always think of a line that is said by Christ when at the crucifixion. He says, "Forgive them, Lord, for they know not what they do." You know, and I think sometimes people are going by what they know. And we are all just compiled of our experiences. And even when investigating, like the thing that drives me crazy the most is when I go out to do an investigation with people and I see them like right away, bam, gloom and doom right away. Are you trapped? Are you in pain? Is there a demon here? I'm like, oh, my God. Why can't anything just be okay? Why can't they just be visiting? Why can't, like, you know?
Right.
And like, I tell people all the time, like, guys, please, no gloom and doom card. Like, and a lot of stuff comes down to, like, what thoughts we put out there, you know? I think a lot of entities that we attract are based on what we're looking for. Just like in this life. If you're looking to be miserable and negative, it's not that hard. If you want to look for bad news, you're going to find it. So whatever you put out there, I think you're going to get back. So that's honestly the thing that drives me crazy the most is they just right away just go right down that dark path. And I think to myself, this is what they've seen on television. And I can't fault them for that. Like, this is where they're getting it from. You know, they're getting it from Hollywood. They're getting it from TV. And you know, it is what it is. And I just take it upon myself to try to guide them the best I can, or at least keep an open mind and try to show them that there's an alternative path to all of it.
Well, see, and that's a great segue right there, because Mike and I talk about this probably almost weekly, if not weekly, very, very frequently, is that people immediately throw the demon card out there every single time we're out doing something, it seems
right.
Like. Yeah. It doesn't matter. It's just, yeah, oh, no, I saw something similar to this, and it was a demonic entity, and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, okay, chill out. You know what it probably is? It's probably Aunt Mary. And she's probably upset that you changed her casserole recipe. And that's why she was knocking some things around in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Because she really loved that recipe. And you decided to change it. And now she's just stopping by to go, hey, it's not okay to put that extra amount of sage in there or whatever, right? Right. It's not a demonic entity coming in there to attack your pots and pans. So
right. No.
Take a step back, you know, relax, take a deep breath. We're going to figure it out, you know. Yeah.
Indeed, man. I totally agree. I always think, man, 25, 26 years doing this stuff, I must really suck at it because I don't come across demons. Like, I don't know where they're hiding, but I just don't seem to find them.
Yeah, well, I'm with you, man. For 40 years, I found two, and yeah. I didn't want to find either one of them. So
I've honestly only dealt with one case that I really thought was like a darker entity, and I wouldn't even make the jump to inhuman, but definitely like negative, angry, like that's all that was being put out, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah. It's a weird field. Like, I believe all that stuff's out there, but I don't think it's nearly as common as people not even believe, but people want to believe, which is even crazier because what's that say about us as a people? We want the negativity. We want the gloom and doom. We want the demon. We want the bad boy in high school that we're going to change and make a good guy.
Which is weird, exactly, which isn't going to happen. Yeah,
no, it never does.
Never does.
How much do you put the fault of that type of mentality that people have on, like, the TV shows? And I won't name any specific one.
Yeah, no, that's always the best thing to do. I think it's a large part of it has to do with what paranormal reality shows they've seen, and not even like the live investigative shows. Like, I personally, I watch just a couple of like actual investigating shows just to support my friends and stuff and see what's going on. And it's not a thing of like, oh, I do it better or whatever, but it's like, this is what I do all the time. I don't want to watch other people do it all the time. Right. I want to watch, like, you know, let me watch the Goldbergs. Let me watch like some like funny little show. I've gotten to the show called Upstart Crow on PBS, which is just, my wife hates it, but it's like an old Shakespeare show. Like, I want to watch this stuff and relax, you know. But paranormal shows I do like were like My Haunted House, where they're just doing recreations and stuff. But the recreations are always demonic. It's always a Ouija board that needs to be burnt. There's always, but like, I watch it for entertainment. Like, the story to me reminds me of the stories I read as a child. But my experiences since then in the field have proven to me otherwise. And so, like I said, I believe a lot of it comes from what people have seen, and just they don't have the experience to show them that it's not always that way. But I mean, I also worked in news for many years for CBS and Fox, and that is all negativity. You know, it's, if it bleeds, it leads. Point the camera in somebody's face if they're crying. If someone's bleeding on the ground, make sure you film that. Like, that's not me, man. That's, I can't be a part of that. That's like, I honestly stay off Facebook a lot. I'm very selective with what Twitter feeds I follow, because I don't want that gloom and doom to even come near me. I just want to be a happy, bouncy little soul, just getting through life, helping other people, and once in a while having pizza and beer.
Perfect.
It's not that much to ask, right?
Oh, that's not that much to ask at all.
No,
absolutely not.
No. So on that note,
should we go to commercial?
We're gonna go to commercial.
Yeah. Sweet. Are we sponsored by pizza and beer?
No, that's a good response, actually. We just need to sneak a little few commercials in. So.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Unfortunately, I'm required to do that. So we will be back in a couple minutes with Dustin Perry. And you are listening to the Odyssey Files here on Para-X.
Oh. UFOs. Bigfoot. Cryptid.
All the shit on the call. Just think if you listen to the words of Para-X.
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Rat, where are you going?
I'm going back to the paranormal view, back where I belong.
Please, take me with you.
No, I'm through with everything here. I want to see if there's something left in life I haven't explored. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, Rat, don't run to them. They talk about ghosts and hauntings, UFOs and all kinds of supernatural scary stuff.
You'll never understand, will you, Scarlet?
No!
Well, that's your misfortune.
Rat, if you go, where shall I go? What shall I do?
Frankly, my dear. Line.
Oh, you've got to be kidding.
That's The Paranormal View with your host, Henry Foister, Jeffrey Gould, and Barbara Duncan. Every Saturday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, exclusively on the Para-X Radio Network.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
This is Elizabeth Saint. You know, in my journeys, I've confronted an over 1,000-year-old demon from the depths of Shepherdstown. But then, you know what happened? I came across Mike and Dave. And hot damn, nothing could have prepared me for the Odyssey Files. My second favorite radio show. I love you guys.
Woo! And we're back. And about 5 seconds before that, I'm like, Dave, shut up!
Well, hey, look, it's been probably a solid 3 months since I kind of rolled into us coming back live. So I felt bad that it's been that long that I didn't screw stuff up. So I thought tonight was the night, because it's kind of chaotic anyway, that I was going to just hammer away at it.
Right.
Although that is the first time I'm like, Dave, shut up!
It happens. But
we're back. We have our guest, Mr. Dustin Perry. You know him from, well, let's just, you know him.
Thank you for knowing me.
His reputation precedes him.
Yeah, you know him from the side of the highway with the three squad cars behind him, holding his Dunkin' Donuts coffee, trying not to look anybody in the eye.
Don't judge me. It was a rough morning.
It was a tough morning. He was providing an act of kindness, and he was abused. It was a rough day.
Dave, take it away.
All right. So, being in the fact that you've been involved in the paranormal for such a long time, and that you like to design things and stuff like that, like you've told us. So, if you had the ability to create the next great research tool for the paranormal field in general, with no limitations to, you know, no type of limitations, what would you like to create that would take us to the next step that we're all kind of searching for, you know, to kind of help with the skeptics and the non-believers?
Well, you know, I'm kind of in a weird spot with that, because I don't think we should ever know all the answers. Like, I don't want to jump to the end of the book. Like, I love having the limited communication that we have with the spirit world, because I think that's what makes it kind of special. You know, if you could always talk to, like, if I could be like, hey, I feel like talking to John Lennon right now, and then bam, he's right there. Like, it probably loses its luster after a while, you know? So I kind of like the mystery and the intrigue of it all. I can't stand the nonsense. So, and I've got some really good friends in this field that are mediums and psychics, and I trust them and I like working with them, because I always think if somebody can tell me a better way to use the equipment that we're trying to use to communicate, who I can try to talk to, the way I can try to talk to them, what things they want to talk about, game on. Like, let's do that. But what I can't stand is Susie Psychic showing up to my event and trying to get her moment in the sun and going on and on with some long extrapolated tale about the demon that's keeping this woman held in this house, and she can't talk, and she's so sad and in pain. So I want a nonsense meter so I can hold it up and go, nope, you're lying. Done. That would be nice.
There you go. Nonsense I like that. Meter. No, I like that.
Shutting down the nonsense. Let us really investigate and follow logical paths instead of just stuff you've put together in your head so you have your moment in the sun.
There you go. So you know what that is? Really, that's a BS meter.
Yeah, I just, you know, I didn't want to say it, but.
Well, no, BS is just, we all know what it means. We're not saying it, okay. But I like that, right? I mean, so it's like going through and finding all the false individuals,
right?
Removing them, and then being able to find the people who really are genuine, who are really looking for an answer for whatever their personal goals are.
It doesn't have to be a psychic or medium or just any investigator who just starts throwing nonsense out there all the time. Like, just stop it.
Right.
Or who would try
to sabotage, you know, an investigation. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That's the worst.
It's actually funny that you brought that up, because I had an investigation this past weekend at a public place. that a lot of teams and they host a lot of events and whatnot there. But one of the questions that I asked, I don't know if I got an answer or not. It'd be hilarious if I did. But I asked if there are ever any psychics that come in here and they're talking and they're saying this and that about, and I go, are you just standing there going, you're full of crap, lady? You know, and so I'm hoping I got an answer to that one, but I thought it was funny that you said that, because that was actually a question that I asked this weekend
for
the first time.
Nice, man.
No, I like that. And it follows in line with what we talked about with Elizabeth, too, is that what you said it really well, too, is that we don't want to find the end of it. We don't want to be at the end of the road either. We right. want the journey. Yeah. And that's what, when yeah. we had Elizabeth on, we talked about the same thing. You know, I want to get closer. But I want it's the walk down the path that's exciting.
Right.
It's not yeah. race. It's not to be the first one racing to the end and seeing it all in front of you. And like I told her and she agreed, I think that maybe I think it's a real world possibility that if we got to the end and we actually saw everything at once, it might just destroy our human mind.
Yeah, and what about our humanity? Like the journey of the soul and the spirit through this life goes on for a reason.
Right.
And if we knew what the end of it was, then we may not go through with it, you know?
Or you might get people cheating and try to manipulate it so it's a different end product.
More than likely, somebody tried to make a buck off it.
Right, that would create more issues. So, all right, so real quick, too, before we get into some things about like what you've got coming up and stuff, top three places that you've been to that you absolutely love and why, just for like listeners, if they have an opportunity to maybe go to these places and get to experience what you got to experience or something along those lines.
So my number one place is always St. Augustine Lighthouse down in Florida, which ended up being an episode for Ghost Hunters. That's the first time I had seen a full body apparition since the shadow figure that got me into the stuff when I was a kid. And to know that was there, to see her, to hear her voice, to completely freeze my tracks with the camera, not knowing what to do because finally I'm seeing what I've been looking for all this time, was still – that's one of those places that will always be so special to me. And I've had some great experiences all across the globe and some really cool places. Like Clark Air Force Base in the Philippines is the most active place. But things that stand out to me. Recently, I had the opportunity to go to the Hinsdale House just in sometime last year, somewhere in those 52 events. And I get to do a couple of nights up at the Hinsdale House. And it was interesting because my buddy Cody was there with me, and we've been working on some stuff back here that we weren't telling people about. And as we're doing the Estes method in one of the upper rooms, I'm getting stuff coming through that I know has to do with what him and I have been working on. And I'm saying it out loud. And it's like, so we were experimenting a lot with the idea of like what these things are. Like, are they spirits or ghosts? Are spirits aliens? Or because you look at like the Frank's box, like his initial design talked about that and his ability to communicate with aliens. So as we're at the Hinsdale House, through the box, I'm getting, I don't know what the question was, I can't remember it now, but I remember hearing the word Earthies. We're watching you Earthies from above. And I'm like, I've got the dark goggles on and my headset's on. And I'm like, I want to be yelling to Cody, are you believing this? Like, remember what we were talking about? Like, it's crazy that it's going on here, you know? We get some really weird stuff, man. There's something about the Hinsdale House. It's just a strange, strange place, man. And then we had a deer ruin our rental car on the way home, completely landed on the hood and completely totaled the brand new rental car. It didn't even have 5,000 miles on it. We were going, let's just say, above the speed limit, and thankfully neither of us were hurt. The deer definitely was, but ran off anyway. And I remember calling the police, and I was so – I love Christmas, and I was really, like, hyped up about what was going on. And I'm like, I hit a reindeer. And I'm like, oh, my God, I sound like an idiot. Not all deer are reindeer, Dustin, just the magical ones. So that was weird. And then the other place that really messed with my head more than any place ever was the Valeska Axe Murder House. And when I was there, nothing paranormal happened to me in the least. I didn't hear anything. I didn't see anything. But the story of the guy hiding in the attic, waiting for the family to come home, waiting for the family to go to sleep, and then murdering the family, I couldn't get out of my head. And, like, still today, like, if I'm working in the yard and I've left the garage door open that connects to the house, when I come in at the end of the day, I got to do, like, the dad check. Like, I lock all the doors, I start in the basement, I go through every room. Because in my head, there could be a crazy person hiding in the house. And that's the thing. Like, people say, oh, what scares you in the paranormal? I'm like, I'm totally cool with spirits. I'm not worried that there's demons in every place I go. I'm worried about the creepy, weird people that are out there. That's the – like, you watch The Walking Dead, like, the walkers aren't what you worry about anymore. It's all the weird people that survive because they're horrible.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. They're totally the ones to be scared of. Yeah.
Yeah, man. So yeah, that place really messed with my head for all the weirdest reasons.
Yeah. I investigated Villisca myself probably going on almost 2 years now. And I still to this day have not gone over all the audio and stuff from it. I really have to do that. But I was right there with you because I was almost getting upset at the fact of everybody was all like, this is the, you know, one of the most haunted places in the country and blah, blah, blah. And it just wasn't experiencing anything, wasn't feeling anything.
Yeah.
And I actually brought up the spirit box and was sitting in one of the upstairs bedrooms, and nothing was going on. And nothing was coming out of it. You know, it was quiet. And so I said, I'm like, you know, what is going on? Is there a reason why you're not speaking to us? And I usually don't do this cause I just think it's disrespectful, but I'm like, everybody talks about this place and I, you know, how active it is. And I'm just wondering, you know, is there any reason why you're not talking with us? And clear as effing day, this deep male voice comes out and goes, careful. And I was like, did you see that? Did you hear? Oh, man.
Right. And it means more, too, when it hasn't been saying anything the rest of the time, you know, because then it's significant. It's in direct response, and it's not just been yelling gibberish all night long.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. But, I'm kind of surprised that you had mentioned Villisca.
Yeah.
But what was your take on Malvern Manor?
I love Malvern Manor. I seem to contact some, and this is weird because like the stories of the place are hard to put together. The research of the place, like I know that, you know, that oh my God, I'm losing his name right now. Not Hauser. Josh. Yeah. I know Josh. Yeah, Josh Hurd, and I know House is over there all the time too. And I know that, you know, they've done everything they can to try to get some more information on the place. So the stories are hard to really pin down because it's such a multi-use place. I've never seen the shadow man that runs out of the stairwell or whatever, the room down there in the bottom corner. But I do have incredible conversations with a young girl. And it's mostly in Spanish, which my Spanish is very limited. But for some reason, when I'm there, I can seem to speak more Spanish than anywhere else. And I seem to do like pretty well with it. And I get responses from this girl. And I'm one of the ones that believes, too, in the universal consciousness theory, where like after we pass away, you're not limited to, you know, your linguistic skills. So you can talk English and you can get responses in Spanish. That makes sense. I've done this overseas. It happens all the time. But I try to speak the language of that person while they were alive, just as a commonplace courtesy. Like, this is what you're most comfortable with when you were here. Like, let's try that, you know, just to try to goad them to come forward a little bit. And when I use Spanish at Malvern Manor, we seem to get great response there. And I love especially the room downstairs. It's all plywood, not plywood. It's all like wood paneling, very 1970s. And it always reminds me of like one of the cabins from camp at Crystal Lake. It's like, this place is so creepy. Like, I'm waiting to see Jason pop out at any time, you know. But and Josh Hurd is such a great guy and his wife. And I love it out there. I really do. I'm actually excited because they're going to be bringing me out to Haunticon over in Omaha, just not far from there. So I'm going to be going out there this year. I don't get out that way very often, but I do like the people out there a lot.
Nice. So speaking of like Haunticon and stuff like that, with the 6 minutes that we have left, where are some places coming up in the next couple weeks at least, or where people can see you and come out and see like your lectures and whatnot, and then like big events that you have going on already throughout this year?
So we get started February 23rd. And it's weird because usually I'm very much Pennsylvania, Michigan, New England, sometimes Florida. But I'm headed west a lot. So I'm going to be in Tucson, Arizona for an event at Slaughterhouse on the 23rd. And then I'm going over to do a fundraiser for it's called Portographs for Pooches. And it's all like a paranormal event at the Old Mill in Dundee. And it's a fundraiser for the ASPCA there. So it's doing good things for the animals and everything, having a good time. Then I go over to Haunticon in Nebraska in March. April, I'm going to Kansas. I haven't been to Kansas in years. I'm looking forward to that. Going to McIntyre Villa over there. So that should be cool. And then I'm in Nevada. I never go to Nevada. I'm so excited. I'm going there. I'm going to Virginia City Paracon. That should be a good time. I'm going up to Portland, Maine for a little bit. Then we're heading. I've got already some bookings for some libraries up in Spencer, Mass. Going back to Sault Ste. Marie for MI Paracon. I'm not saying I'm officially at this event yet, but I'm probably going to be. We're in Crystal Bay, Nevada. We're going to be doing a thing at the haunted Tahoe Biltmore. So, you know, you might see me there. And then we get a gig over in New York. We've got gigs in New Hampshire. It's going to be crazy, crazy, crazy stuff. And I've got like three more contracts out that are coming back this week. So we should be getting a lot more announcements too. But DustinParry.com is the place if you want to check all that stuff out. And then please, please, please go to YouTube. YouTube.com/Justin Parry, and you can check out my Hey Got a Minute videos. I've got 60 motivational videos that I made. They're all crazy. Every day of the week is different. Melodic Monday, I dress up like Elvis or the Beatles. And Techno Tuesday, I wear goggles and there's blinking lights. It's probably not good if you have epilepsy, but there's good messages in there. And it's Wacky Wednesdays, like a cartoon show. Every day is just a 1 minute motivational message with like a minute and a half of fluff on the outsides. But damn, is it fun. We haven't gone viral yet, so not enough of you have watched. So get over there to YouTube.com, Dustin Parry, and check it out.
Sorry, quick. Are you speaking at Paracon again this year in Michigan? Did you get invited to speak again after last year?
Yeah, I think so. They haven't given me an official slot yet, but I don't know how we topped last year, but I might have to check the building codes and see if I can set anything on fire.
There you go.
You're going to be the first paranormal lecturer with pyrotechnics?
Yeah, exactly. I think I'm going to go from James Brown, the hardest working man in the paranormal, to Jimi Hendrix. It's all good.
Oh, that's awesome.
I just want to say real quickly though, I am so thankful to everybody who comes to these things. I never take it for granted. I never take it lightly. I haven't been on TV for 2 years. Before that, I had like a 6-year hiatus, but people show up, people buy my books, people support me, people send me nice letters and emails, and I've made so many friends on the road, and the connections and just a little back and forth, man. I always think the most important thing for me in this life is to leave a legacy of kindness. And that interaction that I get with these people, it really means the world to me, because it's someday, you know, I'm not going to be here either. And maybe I'll help out with EVP questions. Maybe I won't. But there's some books out there that I've written that people can still read. And enough people, I think, have some good stories about our time together. And I hope that continues. And it really means a lot to me to continue to entertain and to inspire and help people along the road as we all go through this life together.
Very nice. Very nice. Ah, and we still have 3 minutes left. I don't know how to close that off, and I don't want to hand it over to Rebecca just yet.
You want to sing a song together?
Yeah, do you have a ukulele?
I don't. It's in the other room. I wish. That'd be awesome. I have to play on that next time.
Actually, yes. Put that up there. Make sure you jot that down.
Right.
That next time that you are on the show, your ukulele needs to be a part of it.
You got it, man. It's beautiful. It's teal green, and it's got a shark on it.
Nice.
Did you have to have that custom made or what?
No, it was like $20.
I was going to say, it kind of sounds a little like Jimmy Buffett-ish.
Yeah, it's very nice.
You know, it's got like a little, it's got a little sand, like a little margarita spillage on it. And, you know.
I'm not going to say.
Not going to say.
Nice. Well, thank you, Dustin, obviously, for coming on. I'm sorry that like 10 minutes of the start of it got screwed up because of Skype sucks so much.
All good.
But I am glad that that you were able to finally come on, and it was much too long between the last time you were on and this time. So we're definitely gonna take care of that this year.
That was good, my brothers. Thank you so much. I appreciate you both, and thanks for inviting me back.
Absolutely. So that does it for us tonight. For Dave and myself, have yourselves a good week.
Hello, everyone. This is Ken Bogle. You know, you hear so many great moments during each and every episode of The Odyssey Files with Dave and Mike. But if I had to really choose my favorite moment, it would have to be when the show was over.